get a hold of some copies of, and this one's in Spanish, of The Old Path or The Old Ways, and it just talks about the scriptures and gives the history of the scriptures. Kind of, I was reading last night a little about Stephen, and Stephen gave him the history of the things of Old Testament down through to Christ, and that's a good one to give. But also the Gospel of John. I always encourage folks, have a Gospel of John ready to give it out and hand out the scriptures. And in fact, this one is the Gospel of John and Romans. And a good book, good writing, good material. I think it's put out in Ohio, Milford, Ohio, bearing precious seeds. So just encouragement. If you don't have it with you, I know you won't give it out. And if you do have it with you, there's a higher potential possibility that you will. And every time you hand out one, you're encouraging your thoughts to remember to have some more with you and give it out again. Give out the Word of God and let the Word of God by the Spirit of God do His work and allow you to have a part in that great ministry. Well, a few weeks back, we started on the first sentence in the book of Hebrews, and the first sentence, of course, is the first four verses, and we've worked through some of that. After an introduction of two or three sermons, we started into an eight-point outline, and we have managed to get through six of those points, and we're just going to mention them this morning because I want to see how things tie together from first chapter, the last chapter, and into chapter 11 a little bit this morning. So I'll direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 1. And would you follow along, please, as we have done in the past? And I will read here the first four verses. So let it settle into our hearts and minds. And it's just one of the most glorious statements on the Lord Jesus Christ who he was as he came, who he is now in glory, and the one whom we have as our Lord and Savior day in and day out. I trust he's your Lord and Savior. We encourage you, as the scriptures do, to consider him and rejoice in all that he has to give. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, or the eons, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I'm going to direct your attention now, after reading that, to what we just read a few moments ago at the last chapter of Hebrews. And a reminder there from verse 20, that is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20, we're going to do 21 and into 22. So Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, we just read about him in chapter 1, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, might this very one we read about in chapter 1 make you perfect or complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Which we go back to chapter 1 and think on who he is. And then he puts this statement in as he finished up his letter. Verse 22. And I appeal to you. And so I take that this morning with this kind of concluding message here. I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, these things we have given and spoken about over the weeks together. So over the past few months, we're back to chapter 1 now just for a moment. Over the past few months, we have worked together through 6 of the 8 points here in Hebrews chapter 1. And today we would have been at point 7, which is down in chapter 1, verse 3, and the end of the verse, where it says about Jesus Christ who sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the job's done. You've accomplished what you were sent to accomplish. You sit down. So the job was sure and total and complete, and nothing was left out of it. The total ministry of the reason why God his Son accomplished by him. Then our point number 8 would have been in verse 4 about Jesus Christ the revered. We not only have Jesus Christ the ruler there in the end of verse 3, but here we have Jesus Christ the revered. By inheritance, obtained a more excellent name. For many, many years when I was about a child and growing up and going to church, probably just so I could be out of the house. But every service for years and years, as I recall, started with a little singing called a doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him where? Above the heavenly coast. Praise him with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I remember that so well. And then usually, almost always, not every Sunday, almost they would sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. I think when we skip some of these songs and take them out and they don't become a regular part of our lives and ministries, our lives are not that way. And we need the singing of the great hymns and the marvelous messages that they have, and all about him, all about Christ, all about the Lord Jesus, about none other, as we have brought out here in Hebrews and chapter 1. Well, I'm going to kind of take and blend those last 2 points together, having Jesus Christ the ruler, and he's the ruler of our lives, not in any harsh or difficult way that is out of line when we have received him as Savior. And he is the one we revere. We are hurt when his name is used wrongly or he's just plain skipped in the things of life. A more excellent name. So I blend those two together this morning hour. And some of you might recall, about 5.5 years ago, I think it was, I preached a sermon out of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I'm going to take you back to Hebrews 11. I'm not going to preach the same sermon. Sorry. Okay. So we're going back to Hebrews in chapter 11 and think this morning hour with regard to a few things there that will tie us together and fit so well with regard to our message that we have putting together this morning hour. So Hebrews 11, verse 23, if you would, think about Moses and thinking about faith, and by faith Moses, Hebrews 11 and verse 23, by faith Moses. When he was born, hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a goodlier, beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, I think that means you're not really old enough to know anything to hit age 40. I know I didn't. But that's what the Acts would tell us is what's being referred to at that age. It says at that age, that point in his life, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He put it off. Esteeming, beautiful word, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. It's kind of hard for us to imagine that. For he looked for the reward. We're a people that often forget that what God has for us ahead. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And there's more and more and more with regard to Moses. Well, just the life of Moses can be viewed from many aspects, as many of the lives of the great folks brought out in the scriptures can be. But here in this section, and through his life, the Lord has chosen to bring forth his life with regard to faith. And good for us to think upon that. The local church thrives upon faith. Faith in the Word of God and the Scriptures. Last night we were traveling home from a birthday party for my old sister. Was that old, but kind of old. And looking at some church signs as you traveled along, and, you know, Faith Baptist Church, well, that's a good name for a church. And the sign said underneath Faith Baptist Church, church with faith in the Scriptures, faith of what it says, faith in grasping and understanding it. And so Moses' life teaches us that faith maintains itself against all odds. You see that when you read down through this section of Scripture. Faith maintains itself against all odds. We would think in our time and age that God has us on this earth to be his witness. When we look around and we listen and we see and we say, what is going on? We would understand it's going to be faith alone that's going to maintain us, keep us going and bold and standing up and speaking up and continuing with, as it were, the old ways, that is, the right ways with regard to the things of the Word of God. And all odds against all hindrances that have come or that will come. And we would answer the question of the Lord of his disciples once, though many years ago, when he said to them, where is your faith? Where is ours? We want to not only maintain it, but we want to set it forth against all odds. So the believer of the Bible, you and I, we make our decisions out of the Scriptures alone. While we enjoy reading many good, godly, precious writers, but our emphasis, our time, our place of authority is the Word of God alone. So here with regard to it, we set forth our premise this morning hour that local church believer does not allow his life and his decisions to be determined by voices and powers and authorities that so-called that are here and there, but rather by faith in the Word of God and what it set forth. As a believer, we always set forth our statement that the Bible says, therefore, The Bible says Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Therefore, Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. We read God says that he created the earth in all the ways set forth in the scriptures. Therefore, God created the earth just as the scriptures set forth. And so we are those that would set forth that here's what it says about Moses and faith and living by faith. And you and I can grasp so much out of this portion of scripture. Therefore, this is the way in which we are to live and set forth our lives for his name's sake. And for that day when we will give a report to him. So the believer always reckons with the reality of God as the scriptures have recorded them. And so you and I do in our little bit of time together this morning hour. As I have you look at Hebrews 11 down at verse 24, if you would please. And just kind of think about this, that Moses, by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was that time when he did that. Verse 25, choosing. By faith he chose. He made a decision. And he stuck by it for a long, long, long time. And by faith, verse 26, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Greater riches. We have to pause when we read the scriptures and think about them and always have a pad and pencil in hand and ask questions and consider and think about what God has said to us and what is he saying here. And we would pause here and say, you know, by faith he refused, by faith he chose, and by faith he esteemed the reproaches of Christ far richer. Have we ever done that in our lives? Whatever age each of us might be, have we ever done that? We have here that record of that moment when Moses turned fully to God. You had that event in your life. Might have been that time when you trusted Christ as Savior and right at that time or shortly thereafter, you were one who refused any longer to walk the road that was away from God. But you chose to go that way that is with him and toward him. Many years ago, which is when most things are now in my life, our youngest son, we were getting ready to go away as a family, and my youngest son came and said, I'm not going. He said, I need to decide. Am I going to follow Christ or am I not? You never know what the outcome is going to be when someone comes to you and says that. You know, a little scary. Wasn't the greatest vacation, just having that upon our minds. And but coming back a few days later, and someone didn't have to say to us what decision our son had made, because he came out and started taking things out of the car when we came back. He never had done that in his life. Picked up a suitcase or something, you know. And then Vacation Bible School was at the door, and the church we were getting ministering in, and our son, he could not stand kids. I mean, he could not tolerate for a moment. And he comes and says, could I help out with the youngest VBS class? Now, that's one of those fall-over moments. And it went on from there with regard to the way the choice he had made. The God who had put in his heart and mind that which he refused and that which he chose. And he was esteeming the reproaches for Christ, which when you stand up and speak up for Christ, there are many folks. But don't be ashamed of them. Today he pastors in What is that state? Michigan. I just pick on him. Thankful for God to that. There come a time. We have to look at our lives and say, was there a time? You know, have I just always gone to church? Or was there a time? Was there a time when I believed on Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Was there a time when I said, that's it, I refuse the ways, the thoughts, the attitudes, the directions, the teachings, and all of that with regard to this Egypt, this world? As I esteem the reproaches of Christ far, far greater riches than whatever might be afforded here. So in 11:24, as you look at it, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, a very practical decision. And his first evidence of refusal was an outward action. He took action, killed an Egyptian. You can read all about it again in chapter 7 of Acts. But in his mind, you know, in his heart, he was thinking he was doing the right thing. He was showing his allegiance with his people, with a refusal for the Egyptians and showing an allegiance to God. And he supposed, it says in Acts 7, verse 25, he supposed that the Israelites would understand how God was going to use him to deliver them. But it says there simply, they understood not. But it was a time by this action that he showed a refusal. He was refusing to identify with Egypt. And everyone here must take a moment to consider that. By what action have you showed your refusing to identify with the world in which we live? And taken a stand for Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ taught and the set forth with his disciples and the things of the early church that by action in attending a local church that preaches the Word of God is a great way outwardly to set forth what we have refused and what we've taken on, and affiliating with a local church, becoming a member of it, of course being baptized by immersion, and taking on the action of becoming a member of a church and stepping forward to live for Christ throughout the days that he has given us to be on this earth. So by action, attending, affiliating with a local Baptist church, I believe personally is the place to go, and one shows a refusal for that the world and its ways as we identify with Christ. I also believe that baptism was not only setting forth an evidence that you have been born again, I've been saved, I belong to Christ, and Christ has commanded me to be baptized. But I think we place too little emphasis upon the importance of baptism. And it's not only identification with Christ and a breaking away, showing it from sin and the life of the past, but it's also an identification with those people where they are being baptized, becoming a member of that church and saying, this is my stand, this is where I take my place, this is where I live out my days for Christ as God would have me in this area to live with regard to the ministry that he's placed right here. There's plenty of work to do in the local church at all times, and today is a day to be bold for Christ and to take your stand and head away from the world's philosophies. Moses knew he could not identify with Israel and Egypt, and you and I cannot identify with indeed this world and with Christ. It cannot be done. We think we might be able to do it. Many multitudes have tried to do it. Perhaps you're trying to identify with both as well, but you cannot identify with the world in the local church. It just will not work. And I want to direct your attention to a couple of portions this morning. And back to Luke, nothing unfamiliar, but that which is a good reminder to us in chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16 and down at verse 13. It's one of those wow type verses we find in the scriptures in many places. So Luke 16:13. Well, when you get there, either say amen or give me a thumbs up or nod your head or do something. All right, so I know you're kind of in that ballpark, right? Got it? Is it in there? Okay. Some are looking, some are waking up, and some are saying, oh, where am I? All right. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 13. And right in the middle of a glorious, wonderful message. I know nothing new to us, but oh, it ought to prick our hearts. Where Christ said, now no servant can serve two masters. We'll all have to admit we've tried it. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he else will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, there's none of them around today, are there, also heard all these things, and they just put him down, you know, derided him. So he said to them, this is that great wow verse, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Wow. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Wow. Boy, don't want to stay there too long, do we? Might convict us and work in our hearts and minds and soul. We might become a changed person. Just think on that. As he said to those there at that time, the Pharisees, you are those who justify yourselves before men. Man, that's our whole society today. We want to look good before men. We want to look good before Christ. He's the one we can give a report to. He's the one we'll answer to. But the God knows your hearts. What's highly esteemed among men is an abomination, wow, in the sight of God. So you either esteem, that's of course respect, hold up highly the things of the ways and the worlds and the riches and the sins, and or with regard to Christ, you esteem and hold up highly the suffering that comes being a Christian, the reproaches. For the greater riches being in Christ. Because you see, as you look ahead, the reward, far more precious. Yesterday at my sister's birthday party, she's turned 70. You'll never see her to pick on her, so just worry about it. I got a chance to. And 1952, she was born. And I had one of these big charts of all the things that happened in 52, you know, the songs and the politicians and on and on. And so it brought back some memories, indeed. And but around with my brothers and other sisters, we were a family of 11, so... One wasn't able to be there, and one has passed on. And I tell you, when we all stood in a row, that was some different picture than it was years ago when a man came by our house taking pictures, and there were five of us then, and he set us up on the ironing board. Can you imagine setting five kids today up on the ironing board? And there he took our picture. And that was just, the family wasn't quite all there yet. But I thought about that as my sister's over here, the oldest one, not the one having the birthday, but the only Christian probably in the group next to myself. And she was the first in line, that is, that Christ saved. And I was thinking of the great influence. I'm not sure she's ever thought about it, but many who came to Christ, but... down through the years, through family connections, through her situation there. But she made a choice years ago. A dad who was, mine as well, of course, very ungodly, care about the things of God could, as I said sometimes before, when I trusted Christ as Savior, at about the age of 12, 13, every other word out of my mouth at that time in life was but a curse word. I didn't know how to talk without swearing. I had no idea. And so I was so quiet for days because I couldn't say anything. I didn't know how to put a sentence together. And lots of times people say to me, even now, you're pretty quiet, yeah? It all goes back to a big change. And the willingness to suffer reproach. What are you willing to do? There was a day when Moses said, that's it. It's Christ or nothing. And it'd be a day, a point in your life, you said, well, that's it. Maybe it hasn't come yet. You say, well, I've sort of moseyed along through life for many years, and none of this and that. But today's the day to esteem the reproaches of Christ of far greater value than anything you'll ever have. Make a decision about. You must choose. Cast your life upon Christ. It's no easy pathway to walk. It is tough being a genuine Christian. It's a challenge every day. And you cannot be someplace in between. It's not enough just to refuse the world and the sayings and doings and on of the way. It's not enough just to refuse that. But you must, by identity, identify with Christ. And all that it means in that identification. It's not an easy road. In Matthew in chapter 10, we recall Christ pointing out a message for those that wanted to follow him. And in verses 32 down through 38, I read some of them here in Matthew 10, 32. He said, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life, I would say Moses found his life, will lose it. Moses, as it were, lost it for 40 years, but in a sense not really. Because of what he esteemed as most valuable. And he who loses his life for my sake, says Christ, will find it. You ever find your life? Moses found his life more abundantly than he had in all the riches of Egypt. A time has come, as it came to Moses, to shun and refuse the ways of the world and to choose and head the ways of God. I often have liked, and I think many of you have too, in Exodus 32:26, many, many, many years before some of the events we're reading about here with regard to Moses and some after them, Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Always reminds me of Davy Crockett. Whether he ever did it, no one knows, but at the Alamo and drawing a line, maybe it was one of the other soldiers, and saying, you know, who's going to stay in the Alamo, step over the line? And well, there's a day and a time to say, I'm the Lord's, I step forward for him, as it were, over the line. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. Remember, God had Paul to write there in Philippians with regard to the local church there as he gave his testimony. When he said, what things were gained to me, I counted them as loss, as dung, as nothing, for Christ's sake. And that's the time that is before us. Refuse the world's influences. Time to bear the reproaches of Christ, and just as we read with regard to it there in chapter 13. get our eyes fixed upon Christ. Consider him. In Hebrews 12, we have that consideration brought out. And just to read a little bit of it here, as we've been looking at and thinking about, by godly activity, to set our eyes upon Christ, run with endurance the race that's set before us. I used to run cross country. I could get across country. It just took me longer than others because my feet didn't reach the ground as close as many others, being short-legged. But I finished every race. Endurance. You learn it in cross country. And endurance, looking, getting your eyes upon the goal, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for what that was set before him, the joy. Joy that was set before him. He did something. He endured the cross. What a statement. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And as we read in our account this morning, then he did what? He sat down. The right hand of God. And so the scripture tells us to consider him. Have you taken time to consider him? Have you sat down and made a decision? Have you decided, you know, be like him? Well, all of that covers kind of the private faith of Moses, and just a little bit here at the end of his public faith. As you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 here, and look at verse 27, if you would, please. Hebrews 11, 27, what's the first statement? By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You need some churches and pastors that stand up in this day right there, not fearing the wrath of whoever's in charge and whatever they're saying. For he endured to seeing him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover. What a foolish thing it must have seemed to many, and still does today. Sprinkling of blood. And then by verse 29, by faith he passed through the Red Sea. By a forward looking of faith, Moses abandoned the ways of the world. By faith he left Egypt. By faith he kept God's word. By faith he believed God and stepped forward. Someone has written, life in the desert alone is better, far, far better with God than in Egypt with all the riches that could abound. He had insight to know God's hour of use for him had not yet come, and it took a long time to get him prepared. Well, maybe it has for you too. You know, 40 years, that's a long time to prepare. I sometimes talk to Bible school students who are in their third Bible school college or seminary and still haven't decided they've had enough years of paying. Going to school. You know, there has to come a time and get into the pulpit, get busy. 40 years. Well, it takes a long time to prepare some. Probably after the years of 50 years of preaching, I'm about ready to start doing it the right way. But he had insight, didn't he? To know God's hour to use him had not yet come. And it was harder for Moses, I think anyway, it was harder for Moses to live for his people than to die for them. Same is true, you know, for us as believers. To die, that's pretty easy, be in glory. But to live in this world, crooked and perverse, to live it, it's hard to stand up for Christ. But you're not alone. Bury his reproaches. To live true to him. Stick with the stuff. How did Moses do it? How did he survive? By faith, what's it say? In the unseen God. We see him in the scriptures, don't we? Faith in the unseen God. He endured. So can you endure. Seeing him who is invisible. Faith indeed is a conviction of things in our lives, as Hebrews, first part of this chapter reminds us of. And be a people of faith. Believe the scriptures. Wait upon God. And I direct our attention back to chapter 1 of Hebrews, please. Hebrews 1, and see, this is the God of the Bible. This is the one we've talked about this morning. This is the one to put our faith and trust in, the one in these four verses. This is the one to serve by faith. This is the one to decide, yes, this is who I want to serve. Look at who he is, what he has done, what he is doing. The Son of God. And here's our application for the morning hour. You know, what will we do with the scriptures? We always have to ask that after a message we've heard. And the preaching of the word is set forth. A Sunday school lesson's been taught. What are we going to do with it? What's our response to it? Sadly, too much. It's just before we hit the front door, it flew away someplace. But you do make a decision every day. What to do with these scriptures. And I give three quick points, which I've given almost each time I've given our chapter 1 review of Hebrews. Will you believe on him as Savior? Welcome him. Trust him as Lord if you have not. To save you from your sin. As the scripture says, all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Certainly included me. Remember that so many years ago. Back pew of the church. And I just remind you, the pastor, the guy up front, he can see everybody and everything going on. Have a bite of your sandwich or take a drink of your water or whatever, you know. And a little guy sitting back there, and the pastor actually led me to the Lord, has just turned 90. But many would like to talk about the Bible and knowing Christ, and I was one of these. I had the quickest hand on earth. And at the door, he says, you like to talk about what it means. Things long ago come back. Time to decide. Welcome him. And then will you worship him? When you welcomed him, you can worship him. You can't worship him unless you welcome him as your Savior. Recognize his supremacy as a God of eternity. And then you'll do something. Then your life, for the first time in your life, yes, even if it starts today, and I'm saying that, it'll be the first time you really, by faith, live for God. Make that choice. You must make it. Choose him as Savior. Choose him as the one to serve and give your life to. Be a part of this local assembly. Get involved in it. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. Get into the work. Grow old in a weary way, serving him right here, exalting him, edifying others, and evangelizing the lost. And these ending verses in Hebrews will be upon your life and he will make you complete in every good work to do his will, that his word be working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. And that through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I, as the scripture says, appeal to you, brethren, to bear this word and exhortation in mind. Our Father, use your word as you see fit in the life of each one as you see fit, so that it brings glory to you, and will praise you in Christ's name.